Is your podcast or business attracting the right listeners or clients? Clear communication and a clear message is absolutely key. So let's get some message therapy with brand strategist Hirsch Raipoon, where he shares what you need to do before you brand your podcast or business, tips in creating a branded message, and why selling the truth is the principle behind it all. And you're going to luck out. You'll hear a couple of jokes in this episode. He's also a comedian. So let's take a listen. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey, guys, this is going to be a good episode because not only will it be informative about your message and message therapy, but Mr. Hirsch Raipoon here is also a comedian and he's pretty darn funny. So I think we'll get a good mix here. And I've been on his Yes Brand show as well. And we've met up through Pantheon Group. So good to connect with you again.
Great to see you again, Lindsay. And I appreciate your turning the heat on as far as like the humor. Now it's, we talked about it. So it's not like you spoke out of turn. We talked about having fun and being funny, but now, of course, there's an expectation.
I know. So now you got to like dig deep in your pockets and pull out the good stuff.
or just go completely somber and serious and just be really like, you know, very, I have my pencil, I have my paper.
Yeah.
We'll try to make everyone happy.
Okay.
That's what we'll do.
That's usually my goal anyway. So
yeah, just make everyone happy.
Perfect. Fine. So you're in the world. You have so many things going on. I know you've got the kosher brand and you've got like products, you've got branding, messaging. You're obviously have your comedy. Just out of curiosity, like how did you get into all of those things? And what is it that you love to do?
Well, what I love botany. No, I actually, but I don't have a green thumb. what I wanted to do was touch something that didn't die. And so fashion was one thing, streetwear, because it never dies. It just gets in and out of fashion, but it's fine. Yeah, I don't even know what that accent. I don't know if that was British or almost had a little hint of German.
It had a little German in there.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a mix. Now we can just go German and just be and just the delightful German is the it's one of my favorite characters. But So I think I got into everything. You know, the thing that I finally reconciled after years of thinking that I was a comedian trapped in a ad man's body or something is that I really do love the process of working with brands, telling brand stories. So in the case of the pandemic, my business partner and I started our own street brand called The Kosher Brand, which really was like a purpose-driven streetwear brand that was focused on inclusion and equity and kindness. And we started a nonprofit called the Keep It Kosher Project, which supports emerging street artists.
Nice.
So we, you know, that stuff kind of was ideas that we had earlier, but we're too busy. And when things got quiet, we were like, okay, let's do something more interesting. But, you know, but that legitimately was kind of a side passion project. Whereas the other stuff is really all focused in some way on work.
Yeah.
And the work being the Yes Brand stuff, which is helping brands find their voice. Sometimes they have to find their next voice, you know, like they started at one level, they know how to talk to the customer one way. Now they want to grow. They have to have, you know, instead of a six-figure voice, a seven-figure brand voice, an eight-figure brand voice. And I think through the comedy, I got very attuned to voices. So in stand-up, I would do character voices. And then in the branding world, I would listen to the client's voice. And you know, kind of mirror that or mimic that. It's not, it went from being a silly, funny thing to just being something I was doing without even thinking of it.
Oh, yeah.
Writing quotes, you know, I was doing PR and I would write quotes for the CEO and they'd be like, oh, that's great. That's perfect. You know, that's what I wanted to say, but I couldn't figure out how to say it. So I think everything kind of started to come together. Like without fun and play, I don't think the brand stuff would be rewarding, right? Like yeah, I couldn't do that in a way that was totally dry. And without the kind of reality of branding as a business, the comedy would just be really like speculative, you know, like I would have to be making a living and taking care of my family the way I want on the road as a road comic.
Mm-hmm.
And that just didn't really appeal to me. So, you know, I think I've just always tried to pick and choose from the different things that I like. I love making people laugh. I love doing stand-up. I like interviewing people. So the podcasting stuff is great, you know.
And you're being, to me, I'm like, you're being true to yourself, which is super important. Now, I just kind of want to tie it into, obviously, my podcast is Leverage Your Podcast Show. And podcasts, obviously, are sharing your voice, your message to impact more people. And many podcasters are using their podcast as a marketing strategy to get their message heard, obviously direct traffic to their website, to, you know, products, services, and so forth. So I just kind of want to frame that so that podcasters understand how it ties in. And obviously podcast, you have to brand it and you have a message to share. Yeah. Now, I know you help people with, like, you call it message therapy, and you said a good thing just a few minutes ago, and you said that, like, I know what I want to say, but I don't know how to say it. Like, you have these feelings and this passion and this knowledge, but you don't know how to output it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that a common problem?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of it has to do with perspective. You know, I do the same thing. I think by talking to people like you, talking to my friends, you know, when I'm just kind of having exchanges, it helps inform how I want to talk about myself. So even though I'm technically the one writing it or framing it, I'm getting input, I'm getting feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people are just, you know, they might be able to do it for someone else, but they can't necessarily do it for themselves. So it's not about whether they're eloquent or whether they're a good writer. Although some people, that's not their superpower. And they're like, but it's talking about ourselves that's so hard.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's our brand, let's say it's a service that we provide for somebody, we're a counselor of some kind, talking about what we do feels like it's self-indulgent. I don't want to sound like I'm yapping all the time, but coming up with a way to be talked about is also important.
Yeah.
You know, how do I want to be perceived? How do I want my customers to talk about my brand? Because so much of what we do is like, you know, referral based or word of mouth or all that stuff. How do we want people to get us right so that they say it right when they're talking about us?
Yeah. And I feel like too, and I've been, because I'm aware and understand the marketing world, I've seen websites where it's like, I know what they do, but the way it comes across on their website or their marketing, and I'm like, that doesn't make sense. I don't really understand what you're saying. So do you, in your message therapy, so to speak, like where do you start when you work with someone? Because there are different elements to your marketing, but like when you see something like that, where do you start?
Yeah, I start with my own process of, like, let's say they say, oh, can you check out my website? I don't know if, you know, I like what it's doing. Yeah. And, you know, and now I tend to work with clients on a on a more comprehensive scale. So I'm not just punching up their website. And that's because all this stuff has to be unified across the board. But they'll say, just here's our website. Can you check it out? And the first thing I'll try to do is look at what they're doing and distill it down into a few sentences. Can I look at what they're saying and distill their message down into a few sentences? Now, if I can, that still doesn't mean that their website's perfect because I had to sit there for 20 minutes and try to figure out what it is they're doing and what it is that, how do I say it? So if it happens right away, maybe that's a good start for them, that we're close. If it takes a while, then maybe there's a disconnect. Maybe it's they're not, because I've spent my whole life interpreting text and rewriting text. And so it's probably not me. you know, it's probably not that I'm just obtuse and I can't, but it may be that we have to take it apart like we would if we were mechanics. And let's look at these things and now when I have my first conversation with them, I won't even talk about the website or anything that I've seen yet. Mm-hmm. I'll pretend I don't know, and not like pretend, but I'll act as though I don't know anything. So I'll say, Lindsay, I don't know anything about you. Tell me in 30 seconds, the most important thing that I need to know about you, and we'll see what comes out.
Yeah.
And then you compare that and you'd be surprised. Sometimes that thing that you said in 30 seconds may be completely different. Or it may be exactly what it says on your website. And then we may have to say, well, look, I didn't understand it when I was on your website and I don't understand it now. Or I do understand it now. And somehow on your website, it doesn't resonate.
Agreed.
You're using too many words that, you know, this is just an example. You're using too many words that everybody uses. You're like cramming in all the words that you think mean something. And if we really sit here and talk about it, it doesn't mean anything, you know? So
I was just going to ask you actually, because I've seen like home pages, sales pages might be a little bit different, but like that are so verbose and so long. And then I'm just left confused.
Yeah.
But some that are like too concise that I'm like, again, I'm having a hard time picturing how they're going to help me. Is there a happy medium, or does it depend?
Well, first of all, I don't think that reams of text are good for anybody. I can't go through it. I like language, right? So I've overwritten stuff and realized that, and then had to go back and underwrite it or rewrite it. But I also don't think that like there's a rule about how many words. You know, if we can come up with a great, like sometimes I love taglines. Taglines are so much fun. I think it's a very, if I'm doing PR for somebody, I might be writing a subhead.
Yeah.
That is different from a tagline because the headline is different from a product.
Yeah.
But it's still, okay, here's one thing it's got to tell you.
Yeah.
And here's another thing. And then the first paragraph is kind of everything, but it's also not in detail.
Yeah.
And then, so press releases have their form. An ad has to grab you, maybe if it's print, and I've done a print ads, maybe it's print and it's one line or one word or two words. You know, I did do an ad I was very proud of for a brand called Mephisto, which is a international footwear brand. And they were bringing back a line of their signature stuff from the 70s, and it was it's called the Rainbow Collection. But this was an ad in a footwear magazine in Footwear Trades, right? So it's inside, and they wanted to do something elegant, and they didn't want to use a lot of verbiage. They didn't want to bore people. And of course, the whole magazine is shoes. So how do you really stand out in a magazine about your products and all that? But the question was, as they brought this thing back, how was the reinvention of this signature collection going to go? And so the ad that I came up with for them was, the shoe, right? You always got to feature the the product, because that's all that matters. A beautiful still photo of the shoe, color photo, nicely stylized and all this stuff. And it was hanging from the wall by a nail, by the shoelace, right? So the shoelace is hanging down, but very stylized, very well, well done. And the tagline, the copy was just "nailed it." And that was it. It was just "nailed it." And we all loved that ad because it was like, it says what it needs to say. Yeah, they nailed it. They got it right. They brought back this thing from 1973 and they nailed it. And so in that case, an economy with words was very important, was very useful, because we didn't want to bore anybody, didn't want to overstate it. Boom. Sometimes you're, you know, like one of the most famous ads in the world was for Volkswagen. And it was like a whole, it was a bunch of copy about the car. They had another really famous one for the Beetle that was, you know, one sentence or something. I can't remember. But, you know, everything is, has its, every story has its nuances.
So when you look at, again, someone's podcast, their products, their copy on their website, when you're looking at that messaging, what are some of the key things that you're looking for? Like, what should it accomplish?
In the podcasting world, as you know, it's very the one hand, there's so much stuff out there. There's so many, there's something for everything. You know, it's almost like Google at this point in some ways. And then at the same time, there's so many interesting podcasts out there, so many interesting shows. And I think people really need to take the time to make sure that the name of their show is really what it is.
Yeah.
What it's about. You know, if it's like in my case, my first podcast, The Truth Tastes Funny, that's really, you know, it's kind of sticky, it's grabby, but it is what it's about. You're not going to get on there and have it not be about the fact that truth tastes funny.
Yeah.
You know, Yes Brand is a little more cerebral, but again, the audience is people who are interested in branding and messaging and all that stuff. So they're going to be interested in what it means and what the story is behind it. So give as much thought as you can to that. The beauty of the podcasting medium is that it is extremely personal. So it should really resonate with you. If you don't come up with the name yourself, that's fine, but it should really, really totally resonate with you, because that will come up every time you do a show.
Sure.
It'll resonate with you. And then in the language that you use, again, sometimes it's good to get some professional help with that, because I have read a lot of show descriptions that do not make any sense to me.
Agreed.
You know, and I feel bad every time I read one of those things, because it does matter, because it is often the first contact that a prospective listener will have with your show, or a prospective guest will be to read this little thing. Maybe it's 100 words, maybe it's 50 words, you know, but it should really say something special about this. It should really be your differentiator, whatever's really special about what you're doing.
To get that clarity is just like, it's everything. It's where it all spins off. I know you said, like, before you brand yourself, find yourself.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean in, like, clarifying what your voice is, what your message is?
Yeah. Yeah, Lindsay. You know, in a sense, that's the whole ball game, because if we are doing a podcast, let's say, because we've had an epiphany about ourselves or about the world or about we're just so excited. That's like the best place to start, because we're like, oh my God, I can't believe I figured this out about myself or about the world, or that I have this to offer. And so But if you're saying like, look, I have a business, I really want to create a podcast that helps promote it and tell our story and serve our audience, and it's a more kind of a logical way of going about it. Okay. But do some kind of deep dive work on who you are and why you're doing this, because your listeners are going to benefit from it. So it is the find yourself thing. And I have a book that I'm not hawking the book yet, because it's not completely done, but I did finish a first draft of it. And it deals a lot with, there's a whole chapter before you brand yourself, find yourself. And it's really boils down to an exploration of, you know, you don't know what you're going to find, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid that it's going to upset your apple cart. It's going to upset your branding. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately people will only really connect with what's real. And so you cannot just fabricate it or will it into being.
No, that's a great point. Is that where your selling the truth principle kind of comes in?
Yeah, that's exactly, you know, what that is that if you can't escape the truth, I realize this, it's, you know, I do this myself too, by the way. And I you know, so I think brands are dynamic. They evolve. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it should be going somewhere. It doesn't have to be fully formed. We are used to that now. Brands are often on a mission now.
Yeah.
Instead of saying we've created the best, whatever, it's we're on a mission to create the best,
that's
whatever.
True.
This is where it's at now. You know, but the thing I realized during the pandemic was we couldn't escape the gravity of what was happening. People were dying. You know, everybody have their opinion about whether it was it really that serious a thing, or was it that? But I know people younger than me who died of COVID in the first month of the thing, and it's like that. That's not, I didn't make that up. And that person was here yesterday and they're gone today. So it's like, okay, so there's some really heavy reality. Something's going on. We can't avoid it. So if we're going to sell anything to anybody, let's make it that. And if we're going to sell it to someone else, let's make sure we really believe it.
Right.
And that we can really, really trust it. And, you know, that's going to be our bellwether for whether this message will work. So that selling the truth thing really is about the fact that it's not even up to us. We are not going to get anywhere until we figure that out.
Yeah, so true. And it's like, there's just so many layers of that, right? Like the truth of where we're at in the situation, truth about yourself, about the industry, being authentic to yourself. I mean, yeah, there's so many different layers.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I used to, in my stand-up, do all kinds of voices, characters, all this stuff. So, you know, when I started doing my real stories from my real life, which are still, you know, they're tinged with humor, there's irony, there's embellishment for sure. You know, it didn't happen the way that I'm describing it. You know, there was a comedian said, so I was at this restaurant the other day, and it doesn't really matter which restaurant, because it didn't really happen. and it's true, because that is how we tell stories.
Yeah.
I was at this restaurant the other day. I'm on my way to the comedy club, and this guy got, but it's based on life. But the more I start doing it like that conversationally about my life, the more fun it became. It became more work to create a fake character voice, a fully fledged character, which I have done, but I was like, why am I doing
that? Yeah. And there's so much comedy in real life. So
yeah.
Stuff you know, you can't make up.
Yeah. And get to the meat. Yeah. Just get to it.
Yeah.
Get to the point of it and you'll get to the fun. Don't think the fun is some kind of fake thing that we layer on top of everything.
I love that.
It's,
well said.
It's part of the reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. And so how does your message therapy differ from like traditional copywriting?
I thought you were going to say from traditional therapy. how does the message therapy therapy is supposed to make you money, and the psychotherapy is probably going to cost you more money in the end. In the end, because I don't have to work with you for 20 years.
So true. And no, you don't have to buy Kleenex and a couch.
Because with my philosophy, if you hate your mother, you know it. You just have to ask yourself, do I hate my mother? And does it serve my business to to hate her? Or is it better to let that go and focus on, you know, what it is that I'm trying to accomplish? Yeah. So I do think humor kind of shortcuts to some of that serious stuff and helps us deal with it. So how does it differ from traditional copywriting is that, you know, for a while I didn't call myself even a copywriter, and I think it's fine to call myself that because I am a copywriter.
Yeah.
But I think where it differs is that I'm also a strategist.
So
when I would work with some of these footwear brands and be like a creative director in a more of an agency structure capacity, you know, I always worked very closely on strategy to the point where, you know, often there's an account person, but I worked hand in hand with the account person and the account person worked hand in hand with me. It's just, they weren't really a copywriter. So when it came time to write it and then get an art director and have it, they were now no longer really doing it. They would look at the finished thing, but they were creatively right there with me coming up with concepts.
Yeah.
And I felt like, oh, that's a little different. I'm sitting there with the owner of the company and I'm talking with them about their life and their personality and why they're doing what they're doing and what they really believe in a way that copywriters often don't get the benefit of that. Somebody does it in a big agency. Somebody else has that conversation. They distill it down. It gets distilled down again. It gets turned. Copywriter doesn't even get to meet the CEO because they don't want the CEO bothered with that. And, you know, but that's not how I work. I always work one-on-one with the decision maker, because I think that person or those people know what they really, really want to, you know, get out there and say. And I don't want it to get distilled between me and them. I can then bring other writers into the conversation. But me being that like account person strategist slash writer is somehow the special thing. But I've had so many people say, this is like therapy. This is like therapy.
Yeah.
And I, being someone who likes to play with words, I said, yeah, it's message therapy.
There you go.
You know,
it's like you're pulling the magic out of people, right? Like their passion and their story and their why. And
they like to talk about it. It's like everything doesn't have to be resolved in 6 minutes. You know, it's like you can have an hour long conversation with, and it comes from obviously the podcasting, like that's great practice.
Yeah.
You're there, even a shorter episode, even if it's 20, 30 minutes, you're finding out about them. You know, that's why the Truth Tastes Funny episodes are a little longer, because they're more human interest. I like to spend the time with the person to just kind of find out what makes them tick and not put a cap on discovery of what's going on. So same thing with that. I just have always liked figuring out who the person is, who the client is, what the product is, where it came from, where the idea came from, so that I have stuff to work with.
Yeah.
Nobody likes to stare at a blank page. Everybody seems to want to consolidate everything. It's a thing and it does that. And they think, oh my gosh, I used 5 words, that it must be great. You know?
So, but like, it doesn't have the magic.
Yeah, it doesn't. To our point earlier, it doesn't have to be two words. 2 words may be gold when you've taken 1,000 bits of information and put it into 2 words. But without those 1,000 pieces, you don't have anything. If I hadn't spent all this time with that brand and got to know them and went to their offices and like saw the thing and did the photo shoots and did like, I don't know that I would come up with that thing right away. Maybe.
Yeah.
But not the whole campaign that we ended up doing, right, which was a lot more words and a lot more taglines, a lot more events and things like that. You got to know people. You got to know their story.
And there's emotional appeal that in psychology that's wrapped into the message and how you want to attract your avatar. And you're not going to be able to just, you know, technically pull words off of a page and make that happen. Like you said, there's, you know, you need to talk to them and get the story and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And not get hung up on like process or use everything as a guideline. Guidelines are great. But just be okay going off script, going off topic. You know, there's a reason. There's a reason for the, you know, trying too hard is a sure way to not succeed at anything. That's that we all learn that. We all fail at something, you know. The minute I stopped trying to understand my 15-year-old, that's when I started to understand. Like I threw up my hands and I was like, okay, I can't understand this language. I don't speak it. None of it makes sense. They play all their music at like six times speed. I don't understand anything. And asking the questions is not getting me the right answers. I'm just appearing like more and more of an idiot. And then I slowly started to be like, oh, I understand. I kind of understand. Now I don't fully understand,
it's okay,
but I kind of understand some things. Like I'm starting to figure out some things.
I can so relate because I have a 17-year-old son.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I can so relate. I'm just like, I know, I ask the questions and I get, you know.
And now my demographic on my YouTube channel has come down in age. A majority of my viewers are, I think 18 to 34 or something like that. And I'm like, ooh, that's interesting. Cool. That's my older kids demographic, you know, I have a 15-year-old, but I have the 26 to 31 demographic. Wow. And so I'm actually playing to that demographic, which means that I'm obviously understanding my older kids.
There you go. You're relatable.
So I'm relatable. Yeah.
That's awesome. So before we go, first of all, you must have some corny joke that you could share on the show.
Corny?
Or something.
Why would you?
I love corny jokes and dad jokes.
Oh, well, you didn't say that, Lindsay. You didn't say, I love corny jokes. Do you have a corny joke?
Oh, fair enough.
Or a corny joke. Well, what kind of humor do you like? What kind?
I like dad jokes.
Ooh.
They crack me up.
I know a lot of dad jokes, but they're dirty jokes.
Yeah, that won't be suitable.
So I don't want to, you know.
Fair enough. I put you on the spot. I just figured you'd have like
it. Now because you've opened up the whole dad thing. I'm trying to think because I think back to the jokes that my dad loved.
Yeah.
And they were usually a little bit naughty. You know, I don't know that they're, I mean, I can tell you a very, it's kind of one of my favorite jokes. And it's probably not, if I had time to prepare a joke, if I'd known that
I put you on the spot.
Corny or a silly joke. There are a couple that I would, okay, I'll tell you a quick one. This will be in honor of my late father because, he could do Scottish accents, really. He could do, you know, any accent. And so I got that ability from him. And this was one of his favorite jokes. And it was that there's a couple in the Scottish countryside and the woman's in labor and they have the, you know, the town doctor manages to get there, but it's laborious, you know, no pun intended. It's taking forever. The woman's screaming in agony. This is before they had an epidural, you know, they didn't know what to do. Finally, the doctor calls. He says, "Angus, bring the lantern." And the guy comes over with the lantern and he shines it. And his wife gives a push and a beautiful baby boy comes out. And Angus thinks, "Oh, man, that wasn't so bad." He starts to walk away. And the doctor shouts back, "Angus, bring the lantern." And he comes back with the lantern. And oh, my God, it's another baby. The guy has twins. He's a boy and a girl. This is crazy. Angus is really thrilled. This is not so bad. He starts to walk away. The doctor says, "Angus, bring the lantern." And Angus turns to the doctor and he says, "I will not. It's the light that attracts them."
That is cute.
And it could be an even longer joke. I'm pretty sure there were probably two more. Like you would say, this goes on. Like that's the way you tell the joke. This goes on for 20, 30 minutes. At this point, there's seven babies. Angus is beside himself. That's how he should have told it. Angus is beside himself. And the doctor says, "Angus, bring the lantern." And Angus slams his fist down and says, "I will not. It's the light that attracts them." That's it. You got to build up that there's seven, eight babies. But that's pretty awesome. There you go. That's not even a naughty joke.
It's perfect.
That's a good dad joke.
All right. I have one quick one for you because I don't know many that I remember. What do you call a fish with no eyes?
What? Oh, that's clever. That's appropriate because we're talking about language.
Yep.
You know,
I know. I like play on words. So before we go though, I do want to make sure people can find your podcast and how they can seek your help and you can become their message therapist.
They need to bring the lantern and shine it. No. So my Truth Tastes Funny podcast, easy enough, truthtastesfunny.com. Mm-hmm. And then the Yes Brand podcast is yesbrandmethod.com. And then if they want to get message therapy, I made it really easy, which is getmessagetherapy.com. And, that's pretty much it. I think through those means they can reach me.
Awesome. All right. Well, you're a treat to have. You're always love how you bring humor into everything that you do. And you're such a smart and interesting guy. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Lindsay. It's a pleasure. Likewise, so much fun to talk to you.
All right. So till next week, guys. See ya. And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you are guesting on podcasts but still feel like the best kept secret and you want to create authority boosting content with ease while attracting leads and clients, then request a free podcast guest leverage audit to transform your results. Head to leverageyourpodcast.com/guest audit.